Oregon Legislature will now come to order. And good morning, everyone. We're opening as a subcommittee today. We're awaiting a quorum, and we fully expect to have one before too long. I think Commissioner Burns is on the road to this location, and Commissioner Garber will join us by telephone around 10 o'clock today. So what I'd like to do is begin proceedings by opening up with the committee discussion regarding long-term plans for Capitol Mall construction. We'll have invited testimony in a moment from Bill Foster, Department of Administrative Services. I'd like to take just a moment before we move into the meat of the agenda to read something into the record that is a composition of basically a compilation of work by several people, and I'll mention them directly. This is a draft that has been put together regarding a comprehensive plan for renovation and expansion of the Capitol, if in fact it is to take place. This comes from staff and also from Connie Seeley, who collaborated on this. If we move through the agenda as scheduled, we probably would not have had something formally to go back and take a look at the condition of the existing building. We've already passed out proposals regarding the wings, but nothing regarding the core Capitol building. And I think most of us took a tour several months ago of the Capitol building and were appalled at some of the conditions that existed in this 1938 vintage building that looked like they have not been updated for quite a number of years. So the collaborators worked on this, and I want to read this into the record for the benefit of those who are watching television today or listening on the Internet. It would be pretty frustrating for us to conduct this conversation, quote-unquote, over their heads. And so I want to take a moment to read this. It's only a page and a half, and that shouldn't be a problem. And then we might talk about some correspondence that we've received from State Representative Dennis Richardson regarding facilities here. And so if you don't mind, I'll just take a few moments to go ahead and read the draft here. It is headed Draft Facilities Committee Recommendation for a Comprehensive Facilities Plan for the Capitol. The Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature approved a recommendation made by the Facilities Committee to update a plan to renovate the Capitol wings, seek funding, and expedite the project. The wings were added to the Capitol in 1977, and this renovation may include improving electrical and plumbing systems, safeguarding technology cables, improving fire suppression systems, stabilizing HVAC conditions for the current number of wing occupants, improving ADA accessibility, and improving office space and furnishings. When committee and commission members discussed this recommendation, it was stressed that the Capitol is the people's building and that the physical condition of the Capitol calls for repairs. Members also commented that the price of renovation, no matter how extensive, will only increase over time. Therefore, it is wise to make an investment in renovation at the earliest possible opportunity. The original Capitol building, dedicated in 1938, is in need of similar renovations as the wings. As was explained to the committee, the old building has the same problems as the new building, but the wires, pipes, and furnishings are even older. Also, the spring break quake of March 1993 caused damage to the original building and clearly illustrated the need for significant seismic upgrades. In addition to the recommendation for renovating the wings, the Commission has also approved a recommendation that the Legislative Assembly essentially experiment with annual sessions over the next few years. Commission members have acknowledged that if the Legislative Assembly eventually meets annually, a different load will be placed on the Capitol in terms of space needs for legislators, staff, and public, and on water, electrical, and HVAC systems. The committee feels that in order to clearly illustrate the nature and expense of renovating the entire Capitol, legislators and the public should see a plan for all future renovation projects, including the wings, the old building, seismic upgrades, and the possibility of moving some Capitol occupants to other locations in the mall. If a detailed tactical plan is developed, then projects may be approved, budgeted for, and monitored over a longer period of time. We feel that with the input of legislative leaders in the process of planning, approval, and budgeting, a comprehensive renovation project may gain and retain traction that can withstand changes in leadership and administration. The committee recommends formation of a statutory advisory committee under ORS 173.7201H. With this suggested composition, two from the public, starting with PCOL members, one from LFO, one from LRO, one from LC, one from the President's office, one from the Speaker's office, four caucus offices. That's four members from the caucus offices, one to two Ways and Means members, one Capital Foundation member, appropriate LAC staff from facilities and information systems, up to five additional professionals to assist the committee. The initial goal of the committee is to develop the comprehensive plan for capital renovation, including project outlines, approximate costs, funding sources, and timelines. Subsequently, the committee will review the plan and progress on an ongoing basis and revise the plan when necessary. In addition to recommending the formation of an advisory committee and development of a comprehensive plan, this committee recommends that the Legislative Assembly consider funding a renovation of the Capitol as a priority, as it is the people's building and it is a wise investment to renovate as soon as possible. As the advisory committee develops their comprehensive plan, this committee suggests that at least the following items be considered in that plan. Seismic upgrade of the Capitol. Areas of concern include ability of the building occupants to safely exit in the event of a significant seismic occurrence. And number two, secure marble tiles to exterior of the building. Then under the heading of renovation of the original Capitol building, areas of concern, safety, whether it is the ability to work in a safe environment or be safe from crimes, electrical wiring and plumbing, lighting in offices and hallways, technology cabling, space allocation, lack of ergonomic furnishings, need for four large caucus rooms, need for committee meeting rooms that allow for roundtable discussion, video and audio upgrades for committee rooms and chamber floors, public meeting and display space, Capitol History Center, review ADA accessibility to the House and Senate chambers and to the wings, and finally, safety of the Capitol grounds, whether it is the ability to get to entrances easily, handrails, more than one ADA entrance, or being safe from crimes, crosswalk dangers, lighting in dark corners, big bushes to hide behind. All right, there you go. There is our draft, and without comment, we want to have some discussion on that today. I want to thank those who worked in the composition of that, because we did need to go back and take a look at the original Capitol building especially, and in an overarching sense today, discuss if there is already an existing plan, if this is redundant. So we'd like to know in discussions today if this is a needful thing. So I'd like to welcome Commissioner Bridget Burns. Thank you. Welcome. Commissioner Wilhelms, would you like to discuss what we have received from Representative Richardson?
Like you, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to read into the record the comments from Representative Dennis Richardson, who makes a good point about the use of space on the mall, in this case, for a particular service that is housed in the State Library building. So, and it goes like this. Members of the Facility Commission. For what it's worth, I want to take a minute to mention to the Commission a facilities utilization issue involving the State Library, which is located directly across the street from the Capitol. A substantial portion of the State Library is occupied by the Braille and Talking Books libraries for the blind. The vast majority of business involving loans of Braille and audio books is done over the telephone, and requests for materials are processed then sent by U.S. postal mail. There is very little walk-in traffic. It would seem that maintaining such an operation and processing orders to send Braille and audio books could be done in any facility, including the state prison, and would not need to occupy prime office space located in a posh marble building on choice real estate, literally 50 yards from the state capitol. Cordially, Dennis Richardson. I think we need to make it very clear here that neither Dennis Richardson nor any of us, I'm sure, are interested at all in decreasing the level of service provided to people who are sight-limited in this case. But he does make a very good point about the prioritization of office space for usage on the mall. And we could probably, and will no doubt, be doing an inventory of the usage of office space on the mall as we proceed with our efforts, I hope, to not only remodel and maybe reorganize the usage of space in the Capitol building, but also hopefully the construction of additional office space on the mall and the restructuring of usage throughout the mall. So I believe that Dennis Richardson's point is well taken, and that we should keep that in mind, as well as keep in mind the usage of all office space and the priority of that usage, therefore.
Hi, Commissioner Wilhelms, thank you. And for the record, let it be noted that we now have a quorum. I'd like to move to our committee discussion regarding long-term plans for Capitol Mall construction, the invited testimony phase, and I'd like to welcome Bill Foster of Department of Administrative Services. Bill, thank you.
Good morning, Chair Wilson and members of the committee. My name is Bill Foster. I'm the administrator of the Facilities Division of the Department of Administrative Services. And I was invited to come and share some thoughts and analysis that we have underway at this moment. As a part of its long-range planning and budget development, DAS is examining additional construction on the Capitol Mall. There's two primary motivations for this. One is simply to work toward the long-term goal of building out the formal Capitol Mall, and the second is for the need of an additional administrative headquarters space on the Capitol Mall. We learned through the work of the Public Commission on Oregon Legislative Subcommittee on Facilities that the legislature and legislative administration have space needs in the Capitol building that cannot be met. Since potential exists to collaborate on a proposal to meet both executive and legislative branch needs, I met with the legislative administrator and had a follow-up meeting with Commissioner Wilhelms. If additional space were built on the Capitol Mall, it could allow some functions of the governor's office or the secretary of state to be relocated to the adjacent public service building. This move could free up space in the Capitol to accommodate some growth needs and enhance the ability to manage reconstruction projects in the Capitol. Additional mall space would be needed to permit some current tenants of the public service building to be relocated. The department's proposal would be to build the next major Capitol Mall building on the yellow parking lot adjacent to the Labor and Industries building. Constructing this building would allow the needs of some other agencies to be addressed and to create space for former public service building tenants. The Facilities Division is investigating which agencies could be considered for the new building, as well as reviewing how additional parking demand on the Capitol Mall would be addressed. Neither the department nor the governor at this point have approved this concept for inclusion in the budget. However, the department is prepared to continue the investigation and analysis, and if legislative interest exists, begin some additional, more detailed discussions about how the concept might work. If the concept is approved, planning funds would be requested in the 2007-09 biennium budget and construction funds in the 09-11 budget. Just to brief comment on Representative Richardson's note, the utilization of the library building is something that they have been examining for some time, and with the continued change of how those services are delivered, they have rearranged and kind of reinvented themselves. The last time I spoke with the state librarian, I think they were thinking about some alternative of how to handle the services for the blind. I don't know that this particular point they have a real plan, but it potentially, if they move that to some other or come up with some other alternative for how to handle that, it would potentially free up some space in that building. Now, on the other hand, a certain amount of the space that it occupies is what's really stacks storage space with low ceilings and other kinds of things. So it's really not suitable for office. But there certainly is some space on the first floor that is part of that program that potentially could be used for that. I don't know exactly what the amount is. We would have to determine that. And I'm sure there are some other options that are worth considering. Now, one final comment I would make on the library. It is probably a little less convenient than the public service building because it is the only building that does not have a connection via a tunnel to the parking structure. The way the floors aligned, it just didn't work. So we have the connection to the public service building directly to the Capitol.
Thank you. Question, who is responsible or which division of government is responsible for the continual monitoring of who is using what space here in the Capitol Mall area and recommending more efficient use when that need is required?
Chair Wilson, that generally is the Department of Administrative Services Facilities Division. We have a few buildings like the transportation building that are owned by other agencies, but the bulk of the space that is on the Capitol Mall, we own, operate, and try to keep in as efficient state as we can and look at the appropriateness of who's there.
Okay. Are there any inherent problems in doing this? Resistance from people to moving? How efficient is that process, would you say?
Well, Chair Wilson, with sufficient time for planning, we've been through it many times. And I think as long as we can work through with all the affected agencies and give them the opportunity to make sure that their needs are addressed appropriately, those things can be addressed reasonably well.
Okay. Further questions for Bill? Commissioner Wilhelms.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it true that both the governor's office and the Secretary of State, and probably the State Treasurer for that matter, currently are utilizing space for staff outside of this building?
Chair Wilson, Commissioner Wilhelms, the Treasurer has space in the Labor and Industries building. The Governor's Office and the Secretary of State both have space in the Public Service building right now.
Further. Hey, Bill, if you'd just stay right there, I'd like to call Dave Henderson, Herb Colum, please. Welcome, guys. Good to have you here today. We want to hash through this proposal that the committee has generated today regarding the possible need for a statutory committee to deal with the original Capitol building here. So if I could have you both introduce yourselves to the record and then just fire away. Let us know what your thoughts are about this. First of all, about the need for work in the main building, the core building, and then maybe we could move into the thought of a statutory committee to try to tie everything together.
Chair Wilson, this is Dave Henderson, Legislative Administrator. Herb Colum, Facilities Manager, with me. And Herb can give you specifics on this, but there is a need for some significant renovation work in the old portion of the Capitol. And we actually have a policy option package that we have put together for our 07-09 budget request that would include $500,000 to begin the work with the engineering firm and the architect on what it would take to go in and do the renovation in the old portion of the building. Herb can give you specifics on what exactly needs to be done, but our feeling has been that if we can move forward with the renovation on the wings, it would be wise to do the planning for the old portion of the building while we're doing the wing renovation, so that when we complete the wing renovation, we can move right into the old portion of the building and do the work there as well.
So as it's currently conceived, it's staging correctly. It's looking okay the way it's beginning to set up.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Herb?
Sure. For the record, Herb Cole, I'm the facility services manager. Chair Wilson, we've been looking at the old building, and there are several things that need to be done here. The infrastructure is such that, even more so than the wings, this building was not designed for the modern office environment. And there have been several instances where we have tried to add electronics or just get some wire from one part of the building to another, and it's just be a case if you can't get there from here, literally, in the old building, because of the way the building was constructed and laid out, we just don't have the access within the building to run the conduit and get the cabling to all the portions of the building we'd like to. And this is will just continue to get worse as we need to expand systems in the future. In addition, of course, a lot of the systems in the building are old. Many of our systems date to 1939. We just did the major renovation of the elevator. The manual elevator was reworked during session, as well as the main elevator. Those motors were the originals that we replaced. A lot of things like that in the building that just is time to address. And we would like to get an historical architectural firm in here to look at us and help us develop the plan to go ahead. And that's why we want to get some experts in here to really look at the situation who have experience working with historical buildings so that we can maintain the look but still end up with the infrastructure that we need when it's done to be able to provide modern office services.
Would it be effective to say then that if this committee did nothing further on this issue of renovation, it's all being taken care of?
We would like to see it being taken care of, Chair Wilson. I can't promise that we will be given our option package. But given our option package, yes, we think we're on track.
Just looking at the draft here, I want to read a couple of key phrases on this draft that you may want to comment on, and that is that in the fourth paragraph of the draft of this facility committee recommendation, it says the committee feels that in order to clearly illustrate the nature and expense of renovating the entire Capitol, legislators and the public should see a plan for all future renovation projects. Another key phrase in that paragraph, if a detailed tactical plan is developed, then projects may be approved, budgeted for, and monitored over a longer period of time. We feel that with the input of legislative leaders in the process of planning, approval, and budgeting, a comprehensive renovation project may gain and retain traction that can withstand changes in leadership and administration. So again, the impetus here is for the public to understand what's going on with their property, so to speak, and to develop a plan that a statutory committee overlooks, that the composition of that statutory committee not changing with changes of administration and so on and so forth. Your comments on that?
We went through a similar process with the wings. Generally, what we're basing that budget option package price on, of bringing an engineer in and having the architects and engineers really tell us what needed to be done. So we weren't trying to drive the process. We wanted experts to come in and tell us what needed to be done within the building and then build the plan based on accomplishing those objectives. So we want to do the same type of thing with the wings. I think you would get into trouble with a large group trying to handle that process. I think it would be a much more efficient process to have facilities and an engineering group put a plan together and then present the plan for review rather than trying to do the plan as a large committee function.
Okay. Any comments from the committee? Commissioner Wilhelms?
On that point, Herb, would it be your vision that that smaller group who had put together the plan would then present that for approval to the Ways and Means Committee, or where would it go once it was put together? Who would it be submitted to?
Chair Wilson, Commissioner Wilhelms, the plan would have to go to the Legislative Administration Committee because that is the body that is tasked with managing the building. But clearly, for budgeting purposes, it would have to go to the Ways and Means Committee and go through the budgeting process to have funding approved.
Follow up, yes.
Well, okay, help me out with the timing on all this. First of all, I feel a lot of impatience emerging in my own self, in my case, because we've been trying to get this done for so long, and I totally support the thought of doing the whole building. But first of all, is it a logical sequence to continue where we are today with looking at getting the Wings project going first, doing it before you do the old building? It would seem to me that it would be logical, but that may be because I have a bias, because I want to see it get done, and we've done a lot of work on it, and the clock's ticking, and the price is going up. But we don't want to do anything stupid, if we're going to have to redo some things. But it appears to me, as I recall the plan, that if we do the Wings, we were going to have to move a lot of those operations into the old building, thus, I assume, chop things up in the old building, so to speak. Which we wouldn't want to do on a freshly renovated old building, I would think. But I want, could you verify that we're thinking logically on this, and that's kind of the sequence of events? And then, what's the most expeditious time schedule that we can follow to get this done?
We believe that it is the way it is planned right now is the logical way to do it. You're absolutely right. We're going to have to move people out of the wings and house them somewhere else while we do the wing renovation. And when you look at the issues of the wiring and the fire suppression and the HVAC and the plumbing and all those things in the wings are critical that they be corrected before we delve into the old portion of the building. So we absolutely believe, in working with the architect, they've confirmed that this is the logical approach to take. We think that we could get in and do the architectural work in the old portion of the building while we are doing the renovation in the wings, so that hopefully if the project proceeds as this committee has recommended and as the full commission has recommended, we would be doing the wing renovation immediately following the 07 session, and the wings would then be ready for use in the 09 session. And immediately following the 09 session, logically, we would move into the renovation work in the old portion of the building. So it's you are right on with your recommendations, and they fit just perfectly with what we've been talking about, and we think it makes perfect sense.
Follow up.
Would the chambers be involved in the renovation? I mean, is there any work that would be done in the chambers that would put them out of commission for a period of time?
Yes.
There is?
Yes.
Well, what might that be?
That might be asbestos abatement.
Yes. Enough said. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question.
Chair.
Commissioner Krieger.
Talk about getting us out of here. You need 18 months for the construction to tear out and put it back. Is there any discussion where all that stuff that's in those wings goes during that 18 months? Is there going to be a storage place, or is everybody going to pack it back to their district or some of the state stuff? Where does it all go?
Chair Wilson, Commissioner Krieger, the furniture will go away. It is 30, 40, 50-year-old furniture that is falling apart and is not worth. You wouldn't want to move that back in when the project is done. So the furniture would go away. The the files and the things of that nature out of the members' offices, yes, they would have to go into storage somewhere. And we can arrange some storage here. Some members may wish to take that that home with them. But we rent warehouse space right now, and we have a group that is working right now on planning how to put this together so that should we get the funding approved in the next session, we'll be ready to, as the gavel drops for sine die, help all of you get moved out, and that would mean everything has to go. Some of it would go into storage potentially down in the parking garage for right now, but we've got some warehouse space. We could rent some more, and we suspect some members would just want to pack some things up and take it home with them.
Dave, you know, I'm sensitive about wasting people's time and setting up a committee that essentially will have no real value as time goes on. We're looking at kind of a dichotomy here in the proposed purpose of this draft, and one of them is that the public would know at all times what's going on with their building and their facilities, which is a good thing, I think. On the other hand, it proposes to develop or ask for development by this committee of a tactical plan that will weather all kinds of political storms and changes of administration and leadership and all of that kind of thing. Is, in your opinion, that an issue, and does the latter, developing a strategic plan by this proposed group of people, will this really do anything, in your opinion?
Mr. Chair, I think it would, because I think that the more involvement we have from all of the affected parties, the better buy-in you're going to get, and the more people are going to be aware of what is the plan. The difficulty that I see, two difficulties that I see. First of all, this is a large committee, and you know from your experience that the bigger the committee, the harder it is to actually have them accomplish things. So that would be a challenge. The second challenge is with turnover, I don't know how you can ensure that you've got a committee makeup that are going to be here year in and year out, and the makeup such that the incoming legislative leadership, whenever that changes, the incoming governor, whenever that changes, are they going to buy into the work of this committee, or how do you build in continuity? And I'm not sure how you do that, but I think that would be important to the long-term success of that endeavor.
Thank you. Let me redirect that question to Bill Foster. Bill, what are your thoughts on this?
Chair Wilson, that's one that I had not pondered. It seems as if, though, that there is some benefit to some kind of oversight and continuity, as Dave was suggesting. And so I really would probably agree with that view.
Thank you. About the issue of composition of the statutory committee, I know that what you say is true. The larger the committee, the more problematic things can become, and there will be turnover in the committee if this is a long-term project, which it is. I mean, there will be changes. But and Herb, I think you suggested in general who ought to be part of this. But let me get back to all of you, or the two of you. Again, more specifically, who should be on a committee like this?
I think that the composition that is noted here, as Herb explained, is when we were doing things for the Wings renovation project, such as selecting fabrics and carpets and colors and that, we had representatives from the President's Office, Speaker's Office, the Caucus Offices, Fiscal Council, Revenue. So we really had a lot of that involvement. I do think that having some members off the commission that has endorsed the concept is valuable. The Capital Foundation is a growing organization that takes a sincere interest in the building, so I think having a representative from the foundation makes sense. I don't see anybody here that you could really leave off of a large group. But as Herb said, I do think it would be important to have us develop something to put in front of this committee rather than have the committee meet and say, okay, what do you want to do? Because I think it would be easier for the committee to react to something rather than have them start from scratch.
Could you elaborate on that again? Help me out a little more on that. I think I like what you said, but I want to make sure I know what you said.
Well, I think that what we need to do is Herb and our information systems manager and myself and maybe a couple of other key people would need to sit down and work out something, a framework, an outline of what to put before this large committee so that they are responding to something. And it may be something, here are three options, or it may be here is our recommendation and some other potentials. But I just think having the committee have something that they can study and consider before they get together and meet as a committee would make sense.
Okay. So ultimately, you produce the material for this committee, some options, and they look it over and they send back to you what their preference is.
And ask us to flesh out more details and put some more more thought and work into coming up with some cost estimates and things of that nature, yes.
And then ultimately, when that is worked out, you take that to Ways and Means.
Take it to the Legislative Administration Committee first and then Ways
right,
and Means.
Right, exactly. Okay. Representative Krieger.
Those of us that have been here, we've watched this, we worked in this building, we know the shortcomings of it, but I kind of wonder, you got this varied committee, I understand that, help maybe promote. But the public perception of this building and their understanding of the need and the justification of what we think we need to do, and some would look at it as just growing government. So what's going to be the mechanism or who's going to be the front to get out there and to educate the public? What are your ideas of doing that?
Chair Wilson, Commissioner Krieger, I think that would probably be some work that this committee would have to do. I think you'd probably have to have a public relations subcommittee that would develop a marketing plan, if you will, to go out and meet with editorial boards of the major newspapers to try to get their support, to make presentations to service clubs around the state, just to spread the message, if you will, as to why the People's Building needs to have some work done on it. We have, if I recall, I'm stretching for a number here, is it 300,000 visitors biennium?
I think it's high.
I mean, it's a significant number, and I think the more that we can show people what the shortcomings are. I think people want to feel good about their capital, and I think that they will view it as an investment if we plan properly and execute properly.
If I could ask Commissioner Krieger a question here. Wayne, it would seem that the logical advocates for this kind of renovation would be the people who actually work in the building, and especially the elected representatives. And I know you well enough to know you're a straight shooter, and you would tell the people the true condition of this building as you know it to be. But let me ask you, do you think that kind of sentiment, that kind of gumption is within the hearts of a number of your colleagues who would get out of the
same? I think, Chair Wilson, that the majority of the people in this building, regardless of party affiliation or some other conservative or backgrounds, whatever it might be, recognize the need. And you need to have a program where you're going to your chambers, you're going to your rotaries and talking about it to get it out to leadership within communities and mayors and League of Oregon cities and county government. Because it's also, they work with us in this building. Sometimes we're not very efficient. So I think there's the will to do that. And I think it'd be done. I would have a concern, though, that I can think of an individual. The minute that you say this, you're going to be on talk radio, da 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 da. And, I want to slam dunk him now. So, you know, we're not here to spend money. We're here to keep this building like it's a public building. Mm. It's out of date. What would you do with a home that had plumbing from 30 years ago or anything else? You probably would go in, you redo your kitchen, you redo your bathroom, those types of facilities, and this building's no different.
Thank you. Commissioner Wilhelms.
I wonder if it wouldn't be better to have the people that initially advocate, well, maybe I can't say initially, but that initially the public advocation for this would come from people other than people that work in the building. If the call for modernizing and upgrading the people's building comes from the people themselves, it seems like it might catch a little better than if the legislators are or the staffers inside the building are the ones advocating it. I'm not hung up on it one way or the other. It just seems to me like if the call comes from the public, it might be better than the call coming from the people who obviously are going to enjoy the new facilities a great deal. I want to go back, though, to the establishment of the committee. I'm not a big fan, personally, of big committees and the way that can slow down the process. And if this big committee to try to gain public acceptance is going to slow down this process, a biennium or, I would be less than interested in it because I happen to believe you can trust the Legislative Administration Committee if it would meet its full obligation and take on these kinds of responsibilities because the building is the legislative branch of government's responsibility, and the Legislative Administration Committee has the authority to make these decisions, and it would seem to me to be more efficient, even though maybe less publicly acceptable, to have that committee do it. If we're going to go with the broader committee, and it sounds like there's been a lot of thought put into this already, but if we're going to go to a broader committee like this, a larger committee that's got to screen things before it goes to the Legislative Administration Committee, then I think that the legislation that establishes this committee ought to have firm, fixed dates or deadline dates for meeting their responsibilities so that they cannot get hung up on a deliberation and thus delay this whole process. There ought to be fixed dates by which they need to have certain things done so that they can present it to the Legislative Administration Committee in time to stay on the scene.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Wilhelms, I would just point out it would not require legislation to establish this committee. The Legislative Administration Committee has the authority to establish committees to advise the Legislative Administration Committee. So the President and Speaker could jointly create a committee of this nature. It would not require any legislation.
Could they as well then put fixed dates in the work plan or whatever is?
Yes.
That would be a good thing. That's a little more efficient. That would be a good thing. Yeah. Another thought, Mr. Chairman, and I'll try to shut up. Having been one that just visited a couple of other state capitals, one of which was Virginia, which is undergoing a massive renovation where they have exited everybody out of the building, stripped her down on the inside of the walls, and these are 1798 walls, they're not 1930. In terms of a major project, the public is going to care because we were talking about $20+ million, as I recall, for the wings renovation. By the time you go through seismic upgrades and complete renovation of the old building, we're probably talking in the neighborhood of $100 million,
yes.
I guess. That's going to get the budgeteers and the public's attention real fast, and we do need to be sensitive to how this is presented to the public because there will be political minds, in my opinion, that will jump on this as naysayers for the purpose of gaining political points for it. And we got to really try to protect against that, because that can get legs. And the final thing I would say is that in my tours around the state, and I've done most of the West Side newspapers now on behalf of this commission, and Carl joined me with one of them, I have found that because I was kind of biased when I went into the editorial boards and the newspaper, the reporters and so forth, and I didn't know what I was going to run into. I have been treated extremely well, and the work of the commission has been extremely well received, and the editorial writers are probably in some cases ahead of me when I'm talking to them about where we're going, and they're supportive of some of the things we're talking about doing that I was nervous about. And so I think that in this case, and to Representative Krieger's point, that if we have facts to back up what we're trying to sell to the public, the editorial writers and the reporters around the state will be at least neutral, if not supportive, of what we're trying to do. I don't believe they're going to be an enemy in this case. And it would be really helpful to get them on our side so that those naysayers that are out there can be dealt with positively, because we need to be able to back up what we want to do with facts. We can't just go out and sell this because we want a nice place to work and so forth. But anyway, those are just some thoughts that I have, but I'm very positive about this. And if we can make this committee work, fine. So let's go for it.
Dave, is there anything that this proposed statutory committee would do that LAC can't do right now on its own, with just a shift in emphasis or picking up a little something here or there? And I know you've mentioned that LAC has the ability to develop its own subcommittee to do essentially this.
Correct.
But even apart from that, does LAC alone have an ability to do this? Especially relating to the public disclosure aspect, keeping the public in the loop as to what's going on.
The LAC can do everything that you're talking about here. The thing that a separate committee would bring is involvement of more people from other offices.
Would the public be involved in a subcommittee? Could the public, members of the public at large, be involved in a subcommittee?
Yes, they could be.
Chair Wilson, one more comment. Herb Colomb again. One more quick comment. Even without this advisory committee being formed, the vast majority of the people that are mentioned here are going to be advisors in one form or another in different phases of the project. We would not try and do this as a standalone unit down in the basement. We are going to go out and solicit comments and input from around the building as we need to.
Mm-hmm. All right, just a little committee discussion here for a moment. My sense is to this is a good idea. However, I don't feel like reinventing the wheel. And I would feel better personally forwarding a proposal to the full commission that simply encourages the formation of a subcommittee off LAC to do these things. That's kind of where I am, but feel free to shoot me down if you feel differently.
No, I think that would give enough flexibility. And this seems like a good idea. It just seems a bit structured. And I just am sensitive that we don't want to come across as being too defensive as we're presenting this. And I do sense that we are like, no, we really do need this. No, we really need this. So I think that giving some flexibility will demonstrate that there's an obvious need here. And it's a pretty well understood need.
Okay. Thanks, Commissioner Burns. Appreciate that.
Chair, the only thing I might say is this time frame thing. It's getting more expensive, not by dollars, but by millions of dollars, just per biennium. And it needs to be done. And if any committee that's set up, as Mr. Wilhelm says, even if it's not a stalling tactic, it's just that they can't come to an agreement on something because somebody who isn't part of the process that's brought in to help can't get there. You can't allow that to stop what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Krieger. Commissioner Wilhelms, any thoughts from you on this?
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I personally do support the Legislative Administration Committee subcommittee concept as opposed to a separate structure. But I wonder if we'll thank you to Bridget. She's not a former legislator yet. But the three of us as legislators or former legislators might have a bias toward that. I don't know. I'll admit mine. But believe me, it's only because I'd like to see this expedited and move as efficiently as possible. I understand the need for public acceptance, and we need to be sensitive to that. But if we think that we can get that public acceptance by using a subcommittee structure of legislative administration versus establishing a larger committee on the separate of legislative administration, then I would certainly opt for the subcommittee of legislative administration.
Okay, what I think I might want to do here for a few moments is to perhaps craft a proposal on the go here. And we can either do that in work session here. And I presume we are. Are we in work session? Are we? I've not brought us formally into work session.
Yeah,
but
we are.
Can we? Yeah, okay. By implication, we are. Okay. Let's talk about this for just a moment, then. I'd like to do this in interest of time, because we can schedule another subcommittee meeting of facilities, which we may need later on, but on the other hand, we may not, and there's no use in paying per diem and mileage, again, if we don't need to. And so why don't we take a moment, then, as long as we're in work session, and craft a proposal on the fly that might get to what I think we're trying to get to with all the concerns. And as I understand it, our thoughts are that we would, some of the bare bones, the bullet points of this, is we would like this to be a subcommittee that is appointed by LAC. Who would like to add a bullet point regarding timeliness? And I think we'll just come up with bullet points and then we'll convert that into a proposal. Anything regarding time frame that this ultimately the commission would want to see from this subcommittee of LAC?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't have to reiterate the time frame. I think that that Herb and Dave have come up with. The only concern that I have is to make sure that time frame matches up with, in the long term, what DAS is talking about doing with the office building on the mall. Maybe that's two separate projects. Maybe the renovation of the building is one and the creation of additional office space is two, but I'm kind of looking at this like I believe that this draft report did, as one long-term project. So point being that we've been talking about is from a legislative standpoint, and I think I heard that it did match up with DAS's time frame, but I just want to be sure that our recommendation includes the coordination between the two bodies.
Mr. Krieger.
Dave, is engineering for the updates and the wings to the point that you can actually say that time frame that you've talked about is going to get it done? That's assuming we can get out of here by the end of June, and that hasn't happened since I've been here, by a month and a half to 2 months. So even if you've got an agreement to get us out of here at the right time, is the engineering to the point, because if they have to have this thing, we can bring all that stuff in storage back in within a week of the time we're going to come into session in January. Boy, you're talking a pretty tight thing there.
It's a tight schedule, Commissioner Krieger, but we've worked with the architect to identify what needs to happen and by when it needs to happen to be able to meet the timelines, and we can do that. The plans need to be updated to reflect changes in building code that have taken place since the plans were originally developed 4 or 5 years ago. But we just need to give the green light to the architect to do that. We are working on the scheduling of things. We recognize that the odds of you being out of here at the end of June are not great, but initially, we had planned on doing the project in a phased way, do the House side first and then the Senate side, or vice versa. So one thing that we've talked about doing now is doing the entire thing at once, because that will cut down on timing. But we can get it done in the interim, assuming we get the green light to proceed. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Anything we can do, Mr. Chair, to have this legislative portion of it done by the end of June? I don't think you can get a lot of argument about getting that done, getting out of here.
Thank you. Marjorie just suggested something that might be an easy way to go here, and that is that you may simply want to delete the paragraph in this draft that refers to the formation of a statutory advisory committee and simply put our recommendation on the composition of this committee, how it should be formed, and that is as a subcommittee formed from LAC. Don't you think that might get us to where we want to go?
Yeah. Okay.
Marjorie?
Do you have the LAC statute there?
Yes.
And after 173.730, does it clearly state that LAC can set up these committees?
Chair Wilson and Marjorie. Yes, 173.760 actually says the Legislative Administration Committee from time to time may appoint such advisory committees consisting of members of the Legislative Assembly and others as are necessary to assist the committee in carrying out its functions as provided by law.
Okay, thanks. Then, Marjorie, do you want to wordsmith that for just a moment, come up with a very simple paragraph there, and we'll run that by the committee.
Chair Wilson, one more thing on the second, I guess the backside of yours, on the areas of concern for the seismic upgrade of the Capitol. If you're going to go forward with this, I would suggest one more bullet in there, and that's the safety of people within the building during a seismic event. This seems to address getting people out. Now, I think that your number one bullet should be the safety of the occupants during the event, and then we worry about getting people safely out of the building.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What? Let me ask you, Herb. That sounds good to me. What does that actually mean in reality?
Being able to, there are several portions of the building that have not been seismically upgraded yet. I think you're aware we've done the rotunda, but there are other portions of the building where the interior structure would come down in a seismic event, and we need to get those spaces reinforced so that the people in the building are safe.
Okay. Safety of building occupants during a seismic event. Marjorie, I think would. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got some thoughts you want to roll out there?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thinking on the fly, again, deleting that fifth paragraph, say something like, the committee recommends that Legislative Administration, according to ORS 173.760, establish an advisory committee to develop this comprehensive plan for capital renovation, meeting specified timelines.
Yeah.
And again, I think, like Commissioner Burns was suggesting, you need to allow for a lot of flexibility of this group to come up with a package and move forward. And my understanding is that this committee could probably just put on paper what Herb and Dave have already suggested that is the plan, and then just backfill with more details
Sure.
that can be shopped around.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Wilhelms.
This commission has the ability to pre-session file bills, and it seems to me in previous discussions we've talked about the need for legislation that dealt with financing, at least for the 07-09 piece of this, to be dealt with during the next legislative session. Have we done anything yet to draft up any bills for pre-session filing could deal with any of this? And is that something that we should get on right away? Because the clock is ticking, and as I recall, there was the need for COP authority at least. But if we're setting up a time frame that we're going to try to stick to, I need to be a little more aware, I guess, of what needs to be done legislatively, and if any of that can be done in the 07 session, then let's get it going.
What we have right now is an option package for the WINGS project itself. We've not put a dollar figure to that because until we finalize the plans and actually go out to bid, we won't know what it will be. But we've got an option package that I think we put in $1 just as a placeholder to say, you know, we'll fill this in later on with a dollar figure of whatever it may be. Each session, there is a bonding bill which establishes the COP authority, and it would be our expectation to have that authority included in that bonding bill.
So the normal legislation that's going to take place will take care of it all without this commission pre-session filing any special legislation.
That should be just fine.
Thank you. That's good.
Okay, moving ahead, then we will substitute out paragraph 5 in the draft here, and it is suggested that we add these words in place of the deleted paragraph. The committee recommends that LAC, according to ORS 173.760, establish an advisory committee to develop a comprehensive plan for capital renovation meeting specified timelines. Sufficient? Okay, and then on the back page, we will add one bullet point to the seismic upgrade of the capital. And Marjorie, how do you have that reading?
Safety of occupants during a seismic event.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, I think that meets our needs.
Can I even put that first, and then the ability to exit
right.
the building?
Yes, yes. Exactly. Okay. Reverse that. Thank you. That's good. Okay, there we have that proposal. And Marjorie, how do we want to adopt that? What do we want? How do we want to identify this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think you can make a simple motion that you approve the draft with the replacement paragraph, an additional bullet. Go from there.
Okay, so moved.
This doesn't conflict at all with the previous recommendation that we made dealing with the WINGS.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Wilhelms, I think that kind of go hand in hand.
Okay. Do you have a motion and any discussion? Okay, Kelly, let's go to the book, please.
Sir, nay. Barbara, excuse, Representative.
Aye.
Chair
Ramirez, excuse me. Aye. Aye. And the proposal carries. Okay, thank you. Marjorie, if memory serves me correct, once we get to committee level, we can amend on the fly there as well. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah, we need to make communications with
yes, Mr. Chair, I'll certainly request on Mr. Barber. We'll check the public.
Okay, why don't we, shall we? Marjorie, would it work better for you if we stood in recess for just a few moments? Why'd you do that? Be happy to do that. We will recess for just a few moments. Please don't stray far. Item, which is called Committee Update and Discussion on Information System Issues. These are some things that we've put quite a bit of time in up to this point, and I'm anxious to find out how things are going. And I have Rich Inglis, Vicki Vermeer, Bill Gross, and Dave Henderson. If you want to come back up, you're certainly welcome to. All of you would come forward. I'd appreciate that. Commissioner Garber is joining us by phone, and he'll raise his hand there in Gresham if he has a question for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. All right, welcome. I'll turn it over to you, and I'll let you determine who goes first with the update.
Chair Wilson, Dave Henderson, Legislative Administrator. I have the certified smart people here who can answer all of your questions and tell you exactly where we are with everything, so I'm just going to turn it over to them, and I suspect that Rich, the IS manager, will lead off.
All right, thank you. Rich?
For the record, I'm Rich Inglis, Information Systems Manager for the Legislature, and we'd like to talk about a couple of things with you. One is the wireless project that's going on, but also just I'd like to give you just a little brief update on a couple of other things. One is the Commission has already talked and made a recommendation on a recording and archiving project to kind of get things moving in that direction, and we have been with your recommendation, working on a direction for that. We actually are talking about whether or not to put that forward in the next biennium's budget. We'll determine that during the next little while, whether that's advisable or not. You also recommended that we move forward with the concept called the Oregon Channel, which is taking television out to the citizens of Oregon. And we are working on that as well, and I might ask Bill Gross to give you kind of an update. We're doing a pilot program in the 2007 session with the partners that we have in place, and that seems to be moving forward very well. And we would hope after the pilot then to move forward with the legislature to try to put something permanent in place and have an ongoing program so that citizens can watch their legislature in action. So those are two of the recommendations that the Commission has made that we're already moving on. The other is the wireless project, and that one, the Commission made a recommendation. Leadership was eager to move forward with that project, and so that has been funded this biennium, and we're actually moving forward with implementation. So with that, I'll let Vicki talk about where we are with that particular project.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, I'm Vicki Bermeer, Legislative Information Systems. We started in March to install a free public wireless network for access to the Internet, and that will be throughout the Capitol except for the chambers. Our target completion date is November 1. We have installed so far 28 of 87 access points. The Senate wing has been completed, as have hearing rooms A through F. Those are turned off right now because the wireless backbone that connects all these individual access points to the Internet, we're still configuring it and testing it, and we would hate for someone to be using an access point and then we run a test and knock them off or disrupt their work. So for the most part, things are installed in the Senate wing but turned off. We expect the use of the free public wireless to be simple. If you have a wireless device, it will just detect the network and you can connect. There's no fee, no registration, no encryption key needed. But we will prepare little informational cards and then talk with the folks who might be asked by the public in the building about how to use it so they're prepared to field those questions.
Thank you.
And again, our target completion date is November 1.
Okay, thank you. Vicki, about the lack of ability to use wireless Internet in the chambers, could you tell me how we got to that point?
The project sponsors, who are the Chief of Staff in the Speaker's Office and the Senate President's Office, made that decision or conveyed that decision to me. I'm not sure exactly what the process was,
okay.
But I know decorum has been mentioned as a key motivator.
Thank you. Well, that is one thing that we allowed them to do and wanted them to do, and that is develop their own rules for usage. How about wireless Internet in the hearing rooms?
There will be wireless Internet in all the hearing rooms.
Okay. All right. Great. Any questions from the committee about the use of wireless Internet in the building? Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Bill, any words?
Chair Wilson, members of the committee, Bill Gross, Legislative Media Supervisor. Just a brief update on our Oregon Channel project. Project is coming along nicely. We're in the middle of finalizing a partnership agreement with Oregon Public Broadcasting, Southern Oregon Public Television, and OPAN. And we're drafting a operations plan for the pilot project for operating the channel on a daily basis. We've created a website prototype. We're in the process of building that. And we're developing a public relations plan to get the word out for alerting citizens on how to tune into the channel and what's happening with the pilot project. So we're still on track to launch the channel on opening day of session. And again, the duration of that pilot would be for the duration of the legislative session. So it's come along very well.
Great. Thank you. How many hours a day, how are you negotiating this with the partners as to how many hours per day they'll actually devote to this kind of coverage?
It'll be 24/7 for the duration of session. So you could watch rebroadcasts of the legislature or if the legislature's live at 2 or 3 a.m. if you wanted to on the channel. And then, of course, we'll have streaming video on the Internet as well.
Right. Great. Terrific. Any questions about this? All right. Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Let's see. All right, Rich, back to you. Anything we haven't covered and want to here?
I just wanted to say that we do have many technology projects on our project list right now. We have, I just counted this morning again, and we have on our list that our IT governance board looks at, we still have about 112 technology projects. So while the commission has helped us move forward on some of the large projects, we are ourselves moving forward with other projects as well. And the demand for those projects is coming from the business areas, and in the legislature, that means the the leadership offices, fiscal council, revenue. So we act at their beckoning, if you will, to do whatever the organization needs to move forward with technology projects. So we have a lot on our books. We have many good ones. We've talked in the past about on-demand printing, website redesign. Several years down the road, I'm sure, chamber automation when that is right and when the business areas think that's right. So we've got a lot of things to look at. So we just wanted to make the point that we are moving forward with technology and hope to continue in that vein.
Yeah, thank you. One final question from me, and that is with 28 of the 87 access points online now, what is the timetable for reaching full penetration here as far as the wireless Internet access points?
Mr. Chair, the access points will probably be installed sometime in September. Mm-hmm. At that point, we have some more testing to do. So our target date to officially turn it on is November 1st.
Are there any physical difficulties in doing these installations that we ought to know about?
Mr. Chair, yes, there are. For example, outside the chambers where we wanted to put an access point, facilities told us that the hard wall is actually backed by marble, so there is nowhere to go. Each access point consists of a kind of sandwich-sized device that is the access point, and then an antenna, which is a separate sandwich-sized device. Typically, the access point goes in the wall, and the antenna is on the outside. And when you've got marble behind the wall, there's nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had to kind of retool where we thought the access points would go in a number of cases.
So you're not having to drill marble in this case?
No, I don't think Herb would let us do that.
Okay, that's good. That's very good. Do you have any concerns that when we finally move into renovation of the old building, that any of this current work will have to be redone, removed, or anything like that? Do you expect that will happen?
Mr. Chair, yes, I know it will happen. The plan, I believe, is to remove all the wiring, including the access points, and then put them back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any questions? All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate the work, and thanks for the update today. Okay. We will move on to proposal number 44, electronic voting in the Senate. And Judy Hall is here to give us an update on that. Judy?
Good morning, Chair Wilson and members of the committee. Judy Hall, Secretary of the Senate. And I'm happy to tell you that we are progressing with the upgrades for the Senate voting system. I signed the contract this morning and put it in the mail. And the funds are coming from savings from the President's office budget, and we expect the work to be completed prior to November 10th. We're hoping they can come in mid to late October and complete the work. I don't think it's going to take very long. It's basically a software upgrade.
Okay. Will this look a lot like the House's version of it?
It probably will not, are you talking about the actual display boards?
Yes.
You know, I'm not completely sure on that because right now we do have display boards, but I think they're replacing certain parts of the display boards in order to accommodate the members' names. So
okay.
It would be similar. It'll be electronic.
Okay. For those who are listening today or viewing, who may not be familiar with what the new system will look like, what the upgrade will do, would you explain that?
Sure, be happy to. And in also in answer to your question, Chair Wilson, about will it look like the House, it's the same company, International Roll Call, that will be doing this. Currently, the Senate has a display board. We have an oral roll call, and we enter the names from the desk system and enter the votes as the oral roll call, is, which will not change. The display board does show the number of the bill and, like, if there's a motion or if it's a third reading, and then it shows the total vote count at the end of each roll call. Now, how it's going to change is it will have all of the members' names up there with how they voted, which we think will help the public and the members also.
Hmm. How has the cultural change been accepted in the Senate level? I mean, it may be too early to tell, but obviously the word spread around.
I think they're going to like it. I think they'll be able to see actually how they voted, and I think it's going to be a really good cross-check.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, what happens at the end of the roll call, the reading clerk reads back this many people, it says ayes 26, nays this many, and how many are excused, and it's always kind of busy in the chamber with people talking, so they're not always paying attention, and I think this is going to get their attention a little bit better because they'll be on either side, the north and south walls of the chamber, so they'll be able to look up there to see, is that actually how I voted?
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions? Commissioner Wilhelms.
Yeah, I understand they're still going to call the roll, and members will not push a button on their desks.
That is correct.
You will push, your desk will push it for them, so they will not have the buttons on their desk at all.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Wilhelms, what we're looking at is this is the first step toward electronic voting in the Senate. There is not enough time this interim to accomplish everything, but I feel like this will take us into that particular direction. And I think that's what where leadership would like to go. And it'll give a chance for the members to, like you said, become acclimated to the new system so they'll understand what is happening. Most of the members are coming from the House. We have very few brand new Senate members, so I don't see any overt opposition to it. I think it'll work fine.
Thank you for the questions. All right, Judy, thank you. Appreciate
you're welcome.
That. Okay, we will go into the work session on proposal number 44, electronic voting in the Senate. My recommendation would be we take no further action on that proposal. You can see that project is undertaken and well in hand. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Wilhelms.
Is there any value in anybody's mind that to, say, in our final report, anointing some of these things that are happening regardless of what we do on the commission? Is it good to have a show of support for some of these things? It seems to me like there might be some.
I'm not sure. Steph?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I was expecting that we would include some sort of information about the information that we've heard from Judy about the implementation of at least updating the board, and that she expects that this is probably the first step moving towards total electronic voting in the Senate.
But how do we signify that or put it on record as Commissioner Wilhelms is?
That you're taking no further action, seeing that the Senate is moving in this direction on their own? Something like that?
Yes, Commissioner Garber.
I agree also that we should have some record of the actions that were taken, because some of these things that were proposed or suggested were actually suggested by members of the public, and it would be helpful if the people who had brought the ideas forward would be able to see that, you know, whether it was through our urging or our action or just the staff's initiative that they were being addressed.
Okay, thank you.
Because, Mr. Chair, to me, there's a difference between taking no further action on a recommendation that we really don't like and taking no further action on something that we do like that's underway because of somebody else's effort.
Okay,
and I just think there ought to be some distinction made in our final report for the benefit of whoever it was that made the suggestion.
Okay, thank you. Not to reinvent the wheel, but let me ask staff, are you aware of how other committees are doing this, or are they doing this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as you saw at our last full commission meeting, we certainly added some sort of context for why the committees are taking no further action. Either it was just a proposal that people didn't want to consider any further, or that we indicated there was some work that was already going on in the building, or there was some other solution that was being taken.
All right, so then at commission level, full commission level, when we present the present this proposal, we will elaborate at that point in time and add our kudos to what the Senate is doing.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Commissioner Garber, is that okay with you?
Sounds great.
Okay, fine. Okay, then by moving that we take no further action on this, rest assured that when we get full committee level, we will say the right things. Okay? So moved by me that we take no further action on proposal number 44. Any further discussion? Okay. Kelly, we'll go to the vote, please.
Burns?
Aye.
Garber?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Aye.
Sheriff Ramirez,
excused.
Go home.
Aye.
Chair
Wilson? Votes aye. And proposal carries. Okay, we will open a work session on proposal number 74, and that is a live log of floor action on TV and or Internet. You know what I think I'll do is have Bill Gross come back and talk about that for just a moment. Bill, if you would. Rich, if you feel like you need to be a part of that, feel free. I just thought I'd cut right to Bill here. Bill, our thought here is to take no further action on this proposal. We believe that the pilot project is going to include this concept. Are we right there?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, Bill Gross, Legislative Media Supervisor. Actually, this item would be looked at or addressed in a recording and archiving project. The process of ingesting and archiving content, and possibly, and it depends on the scope of that project. I believe this proposal refers to the idea of displaying information in terms of if you have, for example, on a floor session, a third reading list, and indicating what item the floor is currently addressing, items they have already addressed, and maybe items that have yet to be addressed by the floor session.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of that, my thought is that would be a byproduct of a recording and archiving project.
Okay.
But our Oregon Channel project is strictly distribution of our current video content, which does not have any indexing of this sort.
Okay. Rich, I guess maybe we should have you up here on this one. Okay, Rich, if you go ahead and identify yourself again for the record.
For the record, I'm Rich Inglis. I'm the Information Systems Manager for the Legislature.
Okay. Now, would you help us and elaborate a bit on what Bill said? Bill indicates that this really falls more into the archiving segment of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Chair Wilson, yes, in our design of the recording and archiving project, we anticipate that we will put in several different kinds of functions that will allow people to not only go out and find archives, but also view things in real time much better. So in this case, it would be, you know, as Bill mentioned, what's coming up, what have they already spoken, what's the current item, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we also anticipate that when you want to come back and look for individual items that have been reviewed over the past two biennia, for instance,
mm-hmm.
that you would be able to go in to a searchable format and find these items and maybe even bring up the video of and the audio and or the audio, I should say, of the items. And that way you can find a record, mm-hmm. a living record of what was said on a particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
So we have seen some demos
of some other government entities in the country that have put up systems like this as part of a recording and archiving project, and we anticipate that our design will be similar to that in the recording and archiving project. So we could do this in a television format, as Bill is mentioning, and enhance our ability on the Internet as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our current thought on recording and archiving, is it will be fairly broad and pretty all-encompassing in this area.
Okay. Then, while I have you both here, let me talk about the language of this proposal as presented from a member of the public or whomever it came from. Live log of floor action on TV and or Internet. Similar to C-SPAN, the idea is live broadcasts of floor and committee sessions would have a scroll at the bottom of the screen indicating what bill is being heard or parliamentary action is being taken. Now, given what you have said and the language of this proposal, how do I marry that up? I'm thinking that it's not in the cards as the language has proposed or requested here in Proposal 74. Is that right?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my interpretation of this is the ability to display information as it's coming down from the chamber. And, again, that is all-encompassed in a recording and archiving project, mm-hmm. the idea that while an event is happening, we're not just recording the audio signal or the video signal. We're also recording the status of the event as it's happening as well.
As you're seeing it live action.
Yes, so that that information could be fed to multiple systems, including our broadcast system, so that while we are covering the House chamber, for example, and they are covering a specific bill, the information for that bill would be available to our information display, and then we could display it on our television system, or that same data could be displayed on the website or other areas of the building, for example. So if this proposal is strictly addressing display on a television feed, I think we're talking about data that can be displayed elsewhere and captured in a recording and archiving system.
Okay.
Chair Wilson, if I might elaborate just a little bit, too. We anticipate that there's great synergy between the recording and archiving project and the Oregon Channel project, mm-hmm. Which will take television out to the citizens of Oregon. And so when we've been talking about the Oregon Channel, the need to have that kind of information on the screen for citizens about what's going on, what's coming next, has been brought up many times. And so our design for the Oregon Channel includes these same functions, which, we'll have most of them, I believe, already in place out of the recording and archiving project, but we may address some additional things out of the Oregon Channel.
All right. Okay, good. In that case, then, I would say that you guys are on top of that. I would recommend we take no further action on that. The pilot project and the recording and the archiving issues all bundled together, I'm satisfied will get us to where we want to go, ultimately. So I would... Commissioner Wilson.
Point of information here. How does this project... coordinate with the electronic bill book? I don't know if we've actually had a suggestion for electronic bill book, but that's the name we brought back from Washington after we went on a tour up there. The electronic bill book or the paperless session suggestion. It seems like there's kind of an overlap. Are they being worked together separately? Is the other part being worked at all?
Commissioner Wilhelms, it's Rich Inglis again, and to me, all of the data that we have in the bill books and out of this particular application would end up being in our databases, if you will. So we have a broad range of databases that will contain many different kinds of data, and our long-term vision is that we will be able to make
many different kinds of information available to citizens and legislators and others in the building through automated systems. So I think in the long term, absolutely, we envision that there's synergy between those things as well, because we would like to have more information available on the particular bills that are you know being talked about. And so that you could perchance look at, when you're watching television or on the internet, scanning something, watching something on either one of those, you could go via the internet over and look at the particular bill, look at the history, look at the documents associated with that, and have access to a whole lot of information. So that's kind of our long-term vision, is that our databases will be available to all of our applications, and we'll be able to put a whole lot more information out to the public. That's our goal.
Are any of those 100-and-some-odd information systems projects that you have underway or in the planning stage, do any of those include the electronic bill book or the paperless session suggestion or pieces thereof?
Yeah, Commissioner Williams, I guess we've got general topics out there listed. We have some projects that we don't really have a great definition for yet. One of those is chamber automation, and I believe Judy Hall and Ramona Kennedy testified that you know, the time is not right for that yet, but down the road they'll be thinking about how could those things be integrated into chamber operations, and automation will happen at some point in the future, but we need to work our way slowly there. We still have one major component of our technology transition program to finish before we should move on to things like chamber automation. And that's the bill drafting project that we're doing right now. We anticipate that'll take another 2 years to finish, a little over 2 years. And then beyond that, we would anticipate we could start looking at additional automation. So I don't have specifically an automated bill book out there, but the concept is there in chamber automation. We have other things like on-demand printing that would kind of enter into that as well.
So chamber automation is the phrase that we should be using to refer to the electronic bill book or the paperless session.
Paperless session.
Chamber automation.
Sounds like that's the term of
art. Okay, got it.
I would suggest that you talk with Judy and Ramona about the phrase that they would like to use, actually.
All right, thank you. Any questions on Proposal 74? Okay, I'd propose we take no further action on that. Obviously, they're working on plans to include this concept in their work, and so I make that motion. Any discussion? All right, Kelly, vote, please.
Burns? Aye. Garber?
Aye.
Representative
Krieger? Aye.
Sheriff Ramirez? Excused.
Wilhelm?
Aye.
Chair Wilson?
Vote aye. Okay. All right, we will now move to proposals 117, 118, and 119. I think we will put those together. 117 says searchable electronic files of legislative meetings. The public's indicated they want to be able to find the information in minutes and audio files faster by using a search function. Proposal 118. Index video recordings of legislative meetings on the Internet. Public would like to have video archives on the web, and they would like to fast forward to a portion of meetings they want to see. And Proposal 119, indexed audio recordings of legislative meetings on the Internet. Public would like to fast forward to portions of meetings that they want to hear. I'll be happy to entertain questions from the committee here. My idea today is to take no further action. We have already moved ahead, I think, and taken some rather overt steps in the area of recording and archiving. I do want to ask our guests today, especially about 118 and 119 here today, would you comment on those proposals specifically and kind of put wheels on this for us, 118, 119, this fast-forwarding concept and all of that?
Chair Wilson, again, Rich Inglis. Fast-forwarding on this one is, let me restate that. These are
portions of the recording and archiving project, as we have just discussed. And so we view those as being married to the timing of that project. I don't believe that we should be planning to take those out of that project. It needs to be done as an integrated effort to do all of the things we've been talking about there. So as I was talking earlier, we're currently just talking about whether or not the recording and archiving project should be put forward with all of the other things that are already on the books for the 2007-09 biennium, or should this be delayed until a biennium after that. So we haven't decided whether or not this can actually be tackled next biennium. So in terms of fast-forwarding this particular function, I think we wait until recording and archiving are moving forward. I guess one thing I would like to suggest is that these indexing and being able to have a good indexing function in the recording and archiving project is an important thing for us. It all comes down to also the scope of the project that we're able to do for recording and archiving. Will these particular functions be included in that? We're anticipating doing a study ahead of the recording and archiving project, just an analysis project, if you will, to decide what needs to be in recording and archiving. And it's our intent that we would look at this among all of the other things that have been discussed to date and put those forward as essential functions for recording and archiving. I don't recall off the top of my head your original recommendation for the recording and archiving project. One thing that could be done on these things is to indicate these are essential functions in recording and archiving, and that might help with getting them in the initial scope of that project to make sure that they move forward.
I know earlier that we recommended that funding be supported for recording and archiving the budget option package that would allow for the recording of all legislative events so that they could be indexed and easily searchable. Do you foresee the time when Internet video will be able to be fast-forwarded, archived easily to find specific sections?
Chair Wilson, yes, I see us being able to provide video via the Internet and via television in the future. Those are essential functions. The public is demanding both. It's, as you probably know, one of the major issues with video on the Internet right now is just a bandwidth. It takes a lot of data to make up video on the Internet, and so it's just a matter of how much can you push forward. So we have some issues there, but the Internet itself is moving forward fairly quickly on being able to provide the bandwidth, and there are organizations now that make video available via the Internet. So I think those are out there, and they should be done and will be done.
Okay. Well, these are things that I think are obviously the intent of this committee as it relates to the funding package that we were encouraging here by our previous action. One quick thing before we go to a vote on these items. We were talking about long-term storage and finding a better long-term storage for archived material. What medium seems to be the medium of choice for the future, at least in your minds, as far as archiving things?
Chair Wilson, I almost have to abdicate on this one, because what I would tell you today in terms of storing is very different than what I would have told you 2 years ago or 4 years ago. The industry here is moving very quickly. The one thing that we do know is that we should have different kinds of storage for the way that we want to archive different things. So, for instance, for archiving video for the Internet, we'll need a lot of hard drive space in our network. So we just need a lot of disk drives, if you will, to be able to provide that. At some point, we'll want to move those off into another medium, maybe send them to state archives if they start doing video archiving. And so there, you may not want to do it in hard drive space initially. You may want to do it through another kind of technology, and I don't know what that might be. In the old days, it would have been taped that you could read, you know, store data and retrieve it, although you wouldn't do that with video. But
Are recordable disks?
Recordable disks could be used, but the way that you play those out sometimes is problematic. There are things called jukeboxes where you could store data and it would actually go out and retrieve the right one for you and play it. And that's the technology, actually, that we would have recommended 4 years ago or even 2 years ago. Today, I'm not sure that's the technology. It's the industry is moving towards online storage in all places, even for archives. So as disk storage gets less expensive over time, ultimately we'll use disk storage for everything. And state archives most likely will use disk storage and have everything online.
Will there be any retrospective looks on some of these things, like things that we currently have recorded on audio tape? Is there going to be a time when those are transferred over to a longer-lasting medium, or are those consigned to the past and will ultimately lose those things that are currently archived on tape?
Chair Wilson, our intent at this point is to include in the recording and archiving project a recommendation to do that with the state archives. We have talked with them about this particular project a few times, and we would hope to partner with them and try to figure out how can we do that. We'd like to bring all of those audio recordings over. That, as you can imagine, that's a massive
huge
effort
job.
To do that. But it could be done for those cassette tapes that are still readable. We know that a few of them are not readable at this point. And I think it's important to move forward before too many of them become unreadable. But that's, you know, that's the state history. We would love to bring that over to a different medium.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, I would propose that we take no further action on proposals 117, 118, and 119, as these seem to be part of action that we have previously authorized and requested. Any discussion? All right, we'll take these in block 117, 118, 119. Callan, could you vote, please?
Burns? Aye. Barber?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Sheriff Ramirez, excused.
Aye.
Chair Wilson?
Both aye. Okay, now let's go to proposal 120. And I think all of you can take your leave. Thank you very much. Appreciate your work. Proposal 120. Encourage people to state their name on the record each time they speak. My idea is to take no further action on this proposal. We have discussed this on several occasions. It does indeed boil down to the chair doing his or her job. And if leadership needs to do a better job in clamping down on that chair to do what that chair is supposed to do, we trust that that will happen. I don't know how you legislate something like this. Maybe some of you have some better ideas than I do. But in making the recommendation to the full commission, I'll certainly make these points that I've made here in the last minutes.
The only additional point, Mr. Chairman, might be to communicate with the committee that's dealing with the institution, public institution, Mr. Tim Chuck's committee. With regard to training,
yes,
and to emphasize, this is really basic, but you know sometimes you need basic training,
mm-hmm.
And I think it would be good if it was incorporated into the training and emphasized.
Okay,
because it has been a matter of concern for years.
Okay, I think Marjorie, if you would incorporate that, or just put a tickler in the file here, and when we run this out before the full committee, we will incorporate that. Okay. All right, so for now, I'll recommend that we take no further action on Proposal 120. Any discussion? Further discussion on that? Okay, seeing none. Kelly, please.
Burns? Aye. Garber?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Sheriff Ramirez, excuse. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Chair Wilson?
What's that? Okay, we move to item number 144, build a new office building. I think that is probably a no further action item here. We've had plenty of discussion about this. I think this is going to be incorporated into the possible comprehensive plan recommendation. Any further thoughts on this, though? Any further discussion?
Well, as the individual who I believe made the recommendation, I appreciate couple of things that have happened since this discussion started, first of which was that DASC is actually watching us on television and picked up on this thing and took the initiative to get a hold of us. And I really think that was a major leap forward. And then the discussion that's occurred since then is now out in the open and is history. And I think it just shows that this process kind of works a little bit if people work together. So I'm very excited about what might happen in the next few years over this this project. So I'm not a bit insulted by having it be mine that you're not taking any further action on, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
All
right, thank you, Commissioner Wilhelm. Further discussion? All right, I will formally move we take no further action on this. And Commissioner Wilhelm, when we appear before the full commission on this, I would appreciate you adding those sentiments.
Well, I'd be happy to.
I thought you would. Thank you. All right, we'll go to the vote on that. Kelly?
Burns?
Aye.
Garber?
Aye.
Representative
Krieger?
Aye.
Chair
Ramirez? Aye.
Chair
Wilson? What's aye? All right, we move to the final agenda item today, and that is to improve cell phone coverage in the Capitol. The proposal is stated, says, cell phone coverage is sporadic in certain sections of the Capitol, including the basement where the press and lobby generally congregate. We need to talk about that for just a bit. Who would like to? Vicki, do you want to talk about this? Who would like to talk about the cell phone coverage?
Chair?
Yes. Representative Krieger.
Sporadic cell phones is not limited to this building if you live in rural areas. Less than 50% of the time do I have cell service. I don't care where I am.
So you spend a lot of time saying, can you hear me now? Like, you got to incorporate that into an advertising campaign. The idea here basically is we're probably headed to a no further action on this because we're obviously moving in the area of wireless. But let's talk about that today. Talk briefly about our problems with cell phone coverage and what our plans are. Dave, would you introduce yourself again?
Mr. Chair, Dave Henderson, Legislative Administrator. Vicki actually conducted a non-scientific survey with her own cell phone going around various areas of the building, including the basement, and found that she had reception in most areas. Certainly there are some areas where it's not very good. The difficulty of doing something of this nature right now is that there are multiple cell phone carriers out there. So if you put in an antenna to improve the Nextel coverage, do you also put in an antenna to improve the Singular coverage and the Verizon coverage and all the multiple cell phone carriers? And it would be a tremendous wiring effort, and you'd be installing, assuming you could get a partnership with the cell phone carriers themselves, you'd be installing 3, 4, 5, 6 different antennas in various locations.
So for the record, it's not a universal situation. One antenna does not satisfy all carriers.
That's correct. And as you said, as we move more into the wireless area, my understanding, and Vicki can elaborate on this, is that the cell phone, the technology is moving in a way that our wireless network may become the vehicle for carrying cell signals in the future anyway.
I kind of suspect that could be the case. Representative Krieger.
Sure. If you improve the service, you're just going to have more than going off during committee meetings.
Probably. Commissioner Wilhelm.
What's the experience in other places? This isn't the only building in the world where they've got this problem, obviously. How do they do it? Because some places you can go and it works great down in the basement or wherever you are in the buildings. Other places, no.
I'm sorry, we're at a loss for how that is.
My 40 years in the telephone business stopped about the time all this started. I mean, that's the biggest idea that's going on. But it just seems that it, I mean, I know it's not simple because you're absolutely right. With all multiple carriers, and it seems like they're the ones that have the responsibility for seeing that their signal is universal. But surely, like the U.S. Capitol building, as I recall, is pretty friendly towards cell users and and some of those big buildings back there were. So we don't know.
We don't know.
Chair Wilson?
Yes, Commissioner Garber.
Thank you. I'm just curious, is there a big cost if we did go to the major carriers and install these antennas? Would there be a large cost factor there?
Thank you. We've got a little conference going on here at the witness table. Mark will rejoin you here in just a moment. Commissioner Garber was just questioning on whether, and Mark, stop me if I'm giving the executive summary here, but wondering if the cell companies don't have a vested interest in improving coverage in this building. I'm wondering if have we approached them on anything like that? Do they have a vested interest in improving coverage in a large center like this for their own customers?
Chair Wilson, Commissioner Garber, we've not talked with the cell phone company, so I couldn't answer that. But Herb has just pointed out to me that as we work through the renovation projects, this is clearly something that we will have as something we can talk with the architect and the engineers about as to whether is there anything we can do within the building to improve coverage.
Commissioner Garber, do you have a follow-up? I may have...
I guess I was just curious, since the renovation project obviously isn't going to happen overnight, if there's a low-cost solution, if it's a very expensive proposition, when we do it and the cell phone companies do it, to provide the coverage throughout the building.
We can certainly look into that as we're updating the plans and see if there are any steps that we could take to improve that.
Thank you. Commissioner Garber, thank you. Any further?
No, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I would recommend giving the cell companies a call. I know that they are constantly trying to improve their coverage, especially with the conversion to digital, and they're putting antennas in people's backyards if the geography is good and not the large things that we're used to seeing but much smaller units. So I would say if you could contact the cell companies and see if they have a vested interest in improving coverage in this building. I would think they might. So
we will do that and report back.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, we'll perhaps have a little bit more to say then when we present this no further action before the full commission then.
Is that going to be the recommendation on this one, Mr. Chairman?
Well, I would think so, unless we want to try to actually craft something that has something in its body that says we will seek to, as the renovation project goes on, to look for practical ways to improve cell phone coverage within the Capitol building.
Well, I, for one, would prefer to have a recommendation such as that, that it would at least incorporated into the remodel or the update of the building, but I wouldn't want to stop you from going to talk to the cell companies right away either.
I think that's all part of it.
Okay. I'd rather see that than a no further action.
Okay. Marjorie, did you copy down that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think that your recommendation is that legislative administration look for practical ways to improve cell phone coverage while they're working towards renovating the wings and other parts of the Capitol.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. You okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, that will be our motion on Proposal 146. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none. Kelly, call for the vote, please.
Sure.
Aye.
Garber?
Aye.
Representative Bridges?
Aye.
Chair Wilson?
Aye. All right. That takes care of our final agenda item today. We have nothing further. There is an outside possibility. We could have another subcommittee meeting because I think this plays out the string, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, we're done. We could possibly do something on security, but that's only a possibility. But I'd like to thank the committee for its work. We've covered a lot of ground here. We've had the luxury of being the brick-and-mortar nuts and bolts committee, and that has been nice having things like that to work with. But we have lots of heavy lifting to do yet with the full commission on some of the more abstract ideas. And so I'll look forward to joining you there, if not here. So thank you very much. And any final words from any of you before we go? All right. Well, thanks for your participation, and drive carefully going home.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Richard.